All views expressed by the host or guests are solely their own opinions. Nothing stated in this podcast should be considered a specific endorsement to make any particular investment or follow any specific strategy. The content is intended purely as an expression of personal opinion and is provided for informational purposes only.
If I tell you Elon Musk posted X sucks, Nostr is the future, everyone should delete their X account and create Nostr account. Did Elon really post that? The only real Bitcoin is no KYC Bitcoin, the one you obtain without leaving trail to your identity. I DM'd Jack Dorsey and told him you should look into Nostr. It was so funny because Fiat Jeff came back from that meeting. He said, oh, it's just a bunch of communists, and never went back.
Is there a help desk?
Yeah, you post 1-800-NOSTR-HELP and you also tag Jack Dorsey and ask why is he not responding to my messages. That's how it works, people.
Rockstar, great to have you here. Welcome to All in Bitcoin. Before we get into Bitcoin and more, let's warm up with my 21 takes on Rockstar.
Let's see.
So, how did you kickstart your day?
I try to really get into high energy as soon as possible and start coding.
With a coffee?
No. I try to avoid any kind of stimulants during my regular days. So, wake up, get to work as soon as you can. That's what I try to do.
What did you want to be as a kid?
I wanted to be a rock star. So my dream came true.
Where does your love for tech and innovation come from?
As a kid, I played a lot of video games. Mm-hmm. And I always wondered how they make video games. So that's where curiosity started and was sparked. And I started coding. Then I got disappointed how games are made.
Okay.
But I stayed like in software development. So yeah.
Why did you get disappointed?
Because it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know how in games you always want to go like what's beyond the wall? Mm-hmm. And when you're creating games, you're always looking from beyond the walls and it's one big nothing and you get all the dirty tricks in the engines that are done to make things appear a certain way. So it's much better not to see how sausage is made and just enjoy the sausage. So.
Okay, so what's the weirdest piece of tech you own?
That's a great question. I mean, can I go with my mask? It's pretty weird. It's
still, of course you can.
It's a tech. My sunglasses as well. No, I own a lot of like old computers. Like over the years, you know how us guys that are into technology, we always like collect all our computers and old cables. We're going to use them one day. That's the excuse. So yeah, I would say like old computers like Spectrum and Commodore. So, yeah.
Okay. Your latest obsession?
Staying on commit streak on GitHub. I started a new streak. So like every day I try to make at least one commit on GitHub, code something and post it and share it with the world, because almost everything I'm developing now is open source. Yeah, that's my latest obsession.
Okay. What do you enjoy doing when you are not building the decentralized future?
I guess I enjoy traveling around the conference circuit, right? It's always, I get so many, hey, I see you here, I see you there. I grew up thinking I'm an introvert. And then as more of my contributions to BTC Pay Server and then Strike and Nostr, like they got recognized and I started meeting with people, I just realized I was like too closed in my shell. So that's why I thought I'm introvert, but I'm actually very extroverted and I love relaxing by just talking with people and connecting.
It goes to my next question. How do you chill and avoid burning out?
Oh, it's simple. I have a solution for burnout. You okay. Want to hear it?
Yes, of course. My burnout wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Tell me.
The cure for burnout is simple.
Okay.
It's $10 million.
That's the one.
See, she's smiling. She's like, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
If you can't have $10 million, then mm-hmm. The thing is, you gotta have a strong circle of people that you trust, and that it's type of people where you will do stuff that you wouldn't do for yourself. Like, if you promise someone you're gonna do something, you will do it.
Yeah.
So it's that type of people, because at the end of the day, we all hate ourselves the most. And a lot of burnout comes from asking yourself, like, what's the point, or not feeling control, or you expended all this energy and now you see the goal, but you recognize that maybe you don't have enough energy to get there. So then it's where demotivation and depression hits. So if you can just have a strong circle of people, that's step one for
that's
burnout.
That's a luxury.
It is. And for me, I always say I burned out so many times that at this point I'm immune to burnout. So that's really what it is.
Who or what pulled you into Bitcoin?
I pulled myself. But when it comes to this rockstar identity, all credit to Nicolas Dorier, because he started BTC Pay Server. And it was exactly at the tail end of block size wars. So I was really tired of arguing with people online on Bitcoin Talk and Reddit. It was just block size wars were really draining. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And when I was thinking what I'm going to do, I recognized, like, oh, I actually can code. Why don't, instead of arguing with people, let me code? And I was looking at projects to contribute to it. That's where BTC Pay Server came in. So Nicholas, yeah, pulled me into this identity and opened the Twitter account, started retweeting him. A year or two later, here I am, yeah, rockstar developer.
If you could change one thing about Bitcoin today, what would it be?
I wouldn't change anything about Bitcoin.
Nothing?
Nothing.
What about privacy?
Yeah, but then if Bitcoin was made more strongly private, would the types like Sailor and like regulators, how would they approach it? Because the fact that you can account for Bitcoins, it's really good. And then when it comes to privacy, especially now with Lightning and eCash, which is really a coin join on Lightning, you can get stronger privacy guarantees. And then the most important thing is always KYC Bitcoin is not really Bitcoin. The only real Bitcoin is no KYC Bitcoin, the one you obtain without leaving trail to your identity. So no, I wouldn't change anything about Bitcoin. Maybe less people online that yell about being representatives of Bitcoin. Maybe that.
Let's get some recommendations then.
Mm-hmm.
A book that really impacted you.
Can it be any book?
Any book.
100 Years of Solitude. I love like surreal novels. So just reading that book gave me so much great moments. And I think anyone that reads book from Marquez, yeah, he will love it. And then maybe 1984 as well. But Animal Farm. The ending sentence of Animal Farm is really good, where he says they were looking at the person, like next to the animal next to the person. But what was weird is that they could no longer determine who is a human and who is a pig. So the way Orwell ended that novel with how, like, what corruption of power does, it's amazing. So
what drives you absolutely crazy?
At this point, nothing really. I mean, I'm lucky to be in a position where if I don't like something, I can just opt out, right? That's really the problem for most of the people. Like, as soon as you don't like something, you should be in a position like not to do that. But people are forced to do certain stuff, like for salary or job, and it builds up in them, and then they like go crazy.
What's the one thing about Bitcoin that most people think they understand, but actually they get completely wrong?
Because Bitcoin is growing in power, and it's great to be on side of Bitcoin. We all paint it the way we would like it to be. And that's where a lot of disappointment comes in, because, you know, you have people that are like, oh, Bitcoin is just a tool, it's technology. Then you have people who are religious about Bitcoin. So it's a deity, it's a god. And I think at the end of the day, yeah, Bitcoin is its own thing, and then we all should find a way to use it. It best suits us while being a good citizens, really.
What's your favorite drink to unwind?
Oh, vodka soda lime. It's okay. What I popularized on Bitcoin Circuit.
Yeah. It's good to know. Covenants.
Let's see how it unfolds. I don't have at this point preference one way or the other.
Your non-negotiables.
Probably if you get to the morals and ethics, then you can. But other than that, we can negotiate about everything. We just need to understand what's the intention of other person. Maybe there is a way to get it with less pain.
Sports, video games, or pub?
If I had to choose, so I got to pick one of video games.
Any favorites?
I would go back to Mass Effect and those older games before the whole craziness of woke culture took over. So you got to have like character A, character B representation. So yeah, older games like that. Civilization series is really good. Any game that really gives you a story and protagonist you can aspire to, you know, like in video games nowadays, they even advertise like, oh, there are no strong female role models in video games. I played Tomb Raider with Lara Croft in the day, like this is what, 1990? Yeah, those are great games.
What's that one topic you always end up bringing up whenever you get the chance?
Maybe Noster. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, Noster, I would say.
Like, are you a Noster? Like, no, I'm not. I don't want to. No. You got to open Noster account.
The best advice you've ever given, not Bitcoin related.
Don't be yourself. Be someone better.
Is Bitcoin for everyone?
Bitcoin is for anyone, but it's not for everyone. It's because a lot of people are still, as we said previously, they're negotiating. They're like, oh, I'm going to buy Bitcoin when thing X happens. Bitcoin is, as Saifedean said, it's like gunpowder. It's a new technology that you will be forced. If you're still using swords and someone has a gunpowder, of course you're going to switch to gunpowder. You will not keep it like, oh, okay, no. You switch back to swords.
You will lose, yeah.
You will lose, and you're losing every day when you look at what governments are doing with money printing and inflation. It's insane, and the less access you have, the harder you're going to be hit by money printing, inflation, because you look at U.S. as an example. It's best if you're in U.S. because that's where money printing is happening. And the biggest export of U.S. is, unfortunately, inflation that then the rest of the globe needs to absorb.
Give us the short version. What's your history with Bitcoin?
When Bitcoin happened, I instinctively understood like, oh, this is great. Private money. Let's go. This will work. But I was unsure if this technology will be allowed to live. So I really got into Bitcoin in 2012. I was forced to integrate Bitcoin. PayPal kept locking one of the accounts of the website I was coding. So that's the first usage of Bitcoin. And from there, as adoption, you know, grew, as more people got into Bitcoin, I was so happy I got in so early. And when I saw the U.S. senators and Congress members, like, they have Bitcoin, I was like, okay. When Bitcoin crossed 1,000 for the first time, I was like, okay, this is it. But yeah, that's how I got into it. And then 2017 is where I really started with this rockstar identity.
And I can't wait to talk to you about privacy.
Oh, Let's go.
Are you a private person?
I mean, am I? Like, how do I measure compared to other people in your life? Like, my whole image, does it signal that I value privacy?
It does. What's privacy?
So privacy is ability to selectively reveal yourself. So if I now you know, take off this mask, I'm revealing more of myself.
Can we have freedom without privacy?
Not in the digital age. So as soon as we now invented these cameras and little phones where everyone can record anyone else at any moment, it's practically impossible to have freedom without privacy. Like, you need to be able to opt out. Like, if you don't want to be in someone's video or photo, you have to be able to do that. And those people like snapping photos where everyone is captured, like, that's bad. But then if you do the next step of publishing that photo online, like, do you even know what you're doing? The problem is, in this digital age, if you don't have privacy in this age, if you like keep blasting every single thought you have online, post it on Instagram, TikTok, allow kids to do that, yeah, you will end up in a place with no freedom.
Can you explain why you decided to be anonymous?
Yeah, there is a difference between like anonymity and pseudonymity. Like your question is really, why do I torture myself to breathe through mask? Yeah, it's a personal choice, right? There are a lot of people that will watch this and they will understand that they're not maybe comfortable expressing themselves. People will go like, hey, if I could say things, but my likeness is not captured fully, like, I would be comfortable being on a camera. And the more we empower people to publicly say things in a way they're comfortable with, the better we will be as a society. You could have rejected this. You could have been like, I will not participate in a video with a masked guy, right? But you're open-minded enough to be like, hey, I want to do this. And I think it's great, because I would encourage people watching, like, maybe you should try a mask and express yourself that way. It's a personal choice.
What do you think is the biggest threat to our online freedom?
Complacency, especially with the advent of AI. When you look at the feeds and timelines of people, we're getting to the point where everyone is saying the things that are algorithmically most boosted. You know, like that one meme that's popular for the day, everyone is reposting it. We cannot go in that direction. All of us, like, regardless of how much attention we like, and we gotta fight it.
Simplex founder Povereskin said, censorship resistance and privacy are in contradiction. The more censorship resistant a communication solution is, the less private it is inevitably. What's your take on this?
I think Evgeny is just lazy.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, first thing, if I can create an anonymous account and I can still post it, so I'm both private and censorship resistant. I get what he is trying to say with the trade-offs, but I think it's just lazy attempt to justify some of the design choices of Simplex. Keep working, Evgeny. Like, everyone loves Simplex, and it's a good work, but yeah, I don't believe that to be true.
Okay, what's freedom tech for you?
Any technology that empowers individual. If you have Bitcoin as a technology, it's a freedom technology. It empowers your individual freedom. Suddenly you can opt out of the system. It's actually very practical technology. If there was no Bitcoin, Snowden wouldn't have escaped US. That's also a big motivation for me as a cypherpunk. Whenever I code, I think about how that code will be used by someone to empower their individual freedom. It's extremely motivating. So any developer that is looking to contribute, or is maybe already contributing to, say, Noster, should always keep in mind and motivate yourself that someone will be using this technology as a freedom tech to really empower themselves as an individual, which is what it's all about.
Let's move to another passion of yours, which is Noster.
Let's go.
What is Noster in simple terms?
So Noster is really a simple protocol that enables exchange of this, like notes and other stuff transmitted on relays, which is really what NOSTR acronym stands for. It's a really simple protocol where I, as individual, I create these JSON files, sign them cryptographically, and send them to relays where they're available for anyone to download. And the first big application of NOSTR is social media, like recreating. But I really see, as more people create identities, those private public key pairs, and start creating JSON files, and more use cases will arise. Private messengers, they're going to use NOSTR as a protocol to exchange notes between people. It's really a great protocol. And then you can go Google NOSTR GitHub. You'll get to Fiat Jeff's manifesto on what NOSTR is. Use that as an intro.
Do you have a metaphor for explaining NOSTR?
Yeah, I don't have a metaphor. That's interesting. No. Maybe I should develop one. Maybe we can develop it together.
Maybe, but it's not that easy to explain.
Yeah, the way that it works is if I took this piece of paper and I wrote something on it, like it's blank, and then I signed it. Yes. And I took that note and put it in some kind of storage that's available for anyone to come and pick up the note. It's digital, so that person taking the note, they're not taking the note, it's staying on the relay. But they verify the signature, and then they know it's a message from me. So that's what really NOSTR is for non-technical people.
Why is NOSTR important?
If you look at X right now, right, and I tell you Elon Musk posted X sucks, NOSTR is the future, everyone should delete their X account and create NOSTR account. Did Elon really post that?
Maybe he came to his senses, you know?
Yeah, maybe. So the thing is, you don't know. You can't verify. Then you start thinking about the fact that Elon right now can make any account on X post anything. We kind of understand that in future, we will not be able to live like that. Like if you're taking some kind of action in digital realm, you need to sign it so that people that are following you, they can verify that you actually said this. And now when you look at the fact that with AI, you can create any kind of video, and create a video where, I don't know, I'm singing Adele, or like just by using this video, it will be increasingly important to verify that someone actually transmitted something. We had a situation where before Bitcoin ETFs were approved.
Yes, I remember
the SEC,
those.
Twitter posting like Bitcoin ETFs approved, and then hours later, they're like, oh, it's hacked.
And the price went crazy.
Yes. And so what? SEC is going to charge SEC with market manipulation. It's not happening, but there will be more and more cases like that, which is why NOSTR is really important.
What was your aha moment with NOSTR?
I was lucky to be drawn into NOSTR very early on. And that Telegram channel of NOSTR that Fiat Jeff established with Ben Ark, they added me there. When I saw what they're doing and really understood it, I was like, okay, yeah, this can work. But they were not getting any kind of support. When Blue Sky happened, I DM'd Jack Dorsey and told him, there's this Blue Sky report, you should look into NOSTR. Luckily, he did. He sent a person to talk with Fiat Jeff, and that's probably the aha moment that it happened.
And that's really cool.
Yeah, and it was so funny because Fiat Jeff came back from that meeting with Blue Sky and all those like people in committee. He said, oh, it's just a bunch of communists, and never went back. He wanted to create alternative to Twitter, because people were getting shadow banned on Twitter. And then when Dorsey himself joined NOSTR, it was like, okay, this is going to be successful.
Okay, what projects or apps on NOSTR are you excited about?
Besides those NOSTR clients that are similar to social media, they're the most important apps right now because they promote the use of NOSTR. I really like other use cases, non-social media. So Flockster is pretty cool.
What is it?
So it's an alternative to Meetup. It's a Noster variant of Meetup. I would recommend people to look into that. On Noster.com, I think there is a section with all the, like, different apps on what you can use Noster for. The movement of private messengers on Noster, that's going to be super cool.
Marty Malmino is working on that,
Marty, I don't know about Marty. I know Jeff Gardner is working on it. Maybe Marty started working on it as well, because as soon as we can have Telegram or alternative on Noster, that's going to explode the number of users. I'll be the first to use it.
Is Noster for everyone?
Yes, unlike Bitcoin, I would think Noster is for everyone. Everyone will also need to start using cryptography, and Noster is one of the easiest ways for you to get into cryptography, to start understanding a little bit about private and public keys and all of that.
So private keys, public keys, clients, relays, how easy is it for a normie to enjoy Noster? And is there a help desk?
You go on your Noster client and you post 1-800 Noster help, and you also tag Jack Dorsey and ask, why is he not responding to my messages? Yeah, that's how it works, people. Try it.
I think the community is really helpful. I think if you have a problem, it's like, I don't know how to do this, and someone always comes to rescue you.
I agree, but my favorites, yeah, are that, like, people tagging Jack and being like, why is he not responding?
Yeah,
like,
we're going with that one, definitely. How would you describe the Noster community, and how does it compare to the Bitcoin space?
I mean, I would describe Noster community as amazing. It compares to Bitcoin community slightly smaller, or maybe like significantly smaller, which I hope changes in days to come, because I have a bet with Parker Lewis.
In days to come.
Yeah, yeah.
So
when
is that?
It will be great if it's in days to come. It will need to be like months to come. I bet with Parker that there will be more Noster users than Bitcoin users. Yeah, it's so far he's winning. So we need to change that.
Like Bitcoin, is Noster open, public, borderless, neutral, and censorship resistant?
Yes, all of that. And Noster is also more approachable than Bitcoin. All you need to do in order to open a Noster account is download some client, starting wizard, like set your name and everything else. And most importantly for people watching is open a Lightning wallet and have that Lightning address that you add to Noster profile, so we can zap you, we can send you some sats. That's where Noster really shines. The more people we onboard on Noster, we're onboarding them with Bitcoin as well, Bitcoin Lightning. Noster is created by Bitcoiners group, but we definitely need to get to the next phase where it's not just Bitcoiners, it's more people, like even people that are antagonistic to Bitcoin. If they set Lightning addresses, it will be amazing. We're going to zap them as well and onboard them to Bitcoin.
With Noster in mind, finish the sentence. Not your keys.
Not your identity.
Okay. I want to ask you a few things about BTC Pay. What's BTC Pay, and why Nicolas Durier felt the need to build it?
Documentary My Trust in You is Broken captures that story and explains it so much better than I will, but I'll give it a try. It's just that Nicolas felt responsibility to fix a mistake he made. And the mistake was that he recommended BitPay to people. And then people were using BitPay. So when the moment came, or BitPay started pretending, we are upgrading Bitcoin. And they weren't really upgrading Bitcoin. They were switching all their merchants to SegWit2x. That's where Nicolas famously tweeted, "This is lies. My trust in you is broken. I will make you obsolete." And this crazy developer started coding solution. And very quickly, a month or two later, he had a drag and drop replacement for BitPay API that then he sent to his friends. It's like, oh, I recommended BitPay to you. Now I'm fixing my mistake. Now you have BTC Pay Server, and using BTC Pay Server, everyone has the technology necessary to accept Bitcoin payments. You don't need to depend on trusted third parties.
Why is it important that it's open source?
Well, would you use Bitcoin if it was closed source?
No.
That's pretty much it. Is when it comes especially to something like money, if we want to trust someone, we already have a system where we trust. Some technologies simply like only work if they're open source. And eventually what I see is that we will make transition. Technology will be so important, and it already is, but so important for our lives that you will only use technology that's open source that you can verify. Because if you don't do that, you open a back door for someone to control you. Now you use X. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get Elon's tweets in your feed. And you can in real time now see how those closed source algorithms, technologies, like how they're impacting people. And again, I say some technology that we're even like yet to discover can only be realized by open source. The power of open source is that anyone gets to use it for free. And if you or anyone watching this is curious, if you go to blog.btcpayserver.org, we have numerous case studies, some with videos, really quick watching for TikTok generation, presenting how people have built companies on top of BTC Pay Server.
What about privacy?
Great point. I mean, in BTC Pay Server, you have PayJoin support and CoinJoin. So it's one of the rare technologies that implements both. So if you're a merchant selling, your buyer also gets privacy by paying by PayJoin because you can't see exactly the amount that was charged. And then when those coins arrive, you can turn on CoinJoin and make payment with increased privacy.
How simple is it to set it all up?
I would argue that it's extremely easy to set up. We have developed numerous launchers where you can launch an instance. And that's also why we're now developing BTC Pay app. The tagline of that is maybe not everyone can, you know, deploy a web server, but anyone can install an app on their phone. Cutting out the middleman, you get to make the payment without 3% or 2%. So we're trying to make it as easy as that. Like install an app, create keys, and have a merchant solution right on your phone.
So if the services are free, how do you keep the lights on?
When you're nonprofit, free and open source software, it's about creating as much value as possible. And once you do that, there will be someone who looks at it and says, wait, what? these guys are working for free. I'm now deploying BTC Pay Server instances and we're making tens of thousands of dollars on hosting, you know, at least some money. So situations like that, and we're very lucky to be in a position where we have multiple supporters. Tether is one of those supporters. And there are a lot of individual donations as well. And I see even anyone that spends time to post on X, hey, BTC Pay Server is great. You're our supporter. So it's thanks to the whole ecosystem that we're able to like keep going on.
How does Nicolas avoid ending up in the same position as Samurai Wallet?
Speaking for him, there's a disclaimer. From my perspective, the way he avoids that is he doesn't charge people money to use the service, and then he's very pleasant online. Unfortunately, Samurai people were not pleasant to anyone. No, what's happening to Samurai is travesty. I hope with all the support that Samurai is getting, like well-deserved support, that they're going to win. They have to win, because if they don't win, it's just another precedent that you can arrest developers at will almost. If you look at the details of the case, they're ludicrous. Everyone is a money transmitter, and I don't know how much you were following the case.
Yes.
But yeah, the whole like heating the pan analogy, terrible. So Godspeed to Samurai Crew and let them win.
What challenges have you faced so far, and what would you say is your biggest contribution?
For me, over these 7 years, I guess everyone was looking at rise of BTC Pay Server and being like, oh, these guys, they have it so easy. I coded for over a year and a half, 2 years. It was completely free. People thought we were getting paid or no, it was all, I was traveling because I wanted to promote BTC Pay Server. To give some historical context for those watching, BitPay just raised $60 million. And you have a single developer saying that he's going to obsolete BitPay, right? It's a little bit crazy. And then 2019, starting a strike with Jack Mallers, there's like 4 years of building up a company, numerous challenges there, plenty of challenges. You know, sometimes you're going to fail. If you're in the right group will lift you up, support you. If you're in a wrong group, you're going to get betrayed. People will stab you in the back. They will like explain how it's your fault. Don't take it to heart. Lift yourself up somehow. Get yourself to a new group or something and dream a little bit. Come up with a new goal. Keep going.
Any final thoughts you'd like to share?
No, I've immensely enjoyed this, CK.
Thank you.
We needed more of this, but that's the next interview when you bring me back.
Okay, I can't wait to bring you back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.